I'm Ryan Yates, and you're listening to Forest Fancast in North America. City ground, old mist rolling in from the trends. My desire is always to be here, oh city ground. He goes for goal and finds it! That is stunning from Joe Lolly.
Welcome to the Forest North America Fancast.
Hey guys, it is the Forest Fancast. We've got Jordan, Mark, Corey is here. That is me, and we have episode 10. Guys, the 10th episode.
Woo, big D's.
Yeah, 10 and beaten, just like the Reds.
And everybody thought we would only make it 6.
Yeah, I think just like the Reds, there's been a couple of draws in there as well, though.
That's great. We're going to roll right into this one, because once again, we have 3 matches to go over. Episode 10's name is Buckle Up. No pun intended there, but Mark can probably elaborate on that. Buckle up. It's going to be a fun rest of the season. We're to international break, and Forest is in second, and it's only because of goal differential, Mark.
Yeah, single goal, right?
Yeah.
Separate us from top of the tree, which is just astonishing. And I think if you'd said to any Forest fan at the start of the season, that's where we'll be come the second international break, they'd have bitten your hand up. You wouldn't have even finished that sentence. It's, I said before, whisper it. I think maybe a whisper's becoming a... it's becoming audible now. It's becoming room level where we can start talking about what we might be able to do this year. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's see where we're at Christmas.
Jordan, the way the championship table looks right now, we're really, really moving. 14 points in the last 6 matches. West Brom, 13 out of their last 6. Leeds, 7 out of 6. And Derby, somehow they have 9 points in their last 6. Nobody would have ever guessed that, probably. Are we the hottest team in the championship, Jordan?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think we're playing really good football now. And you look at our kind of fixtures to go, and we went through a really difficult first, 6 to 8 games. And now we're reaping the rewards of that form through those games as we, in quotation marks, have lighter games moving forward. And we got, Wigan away and then a couple of home games. You can see that we've got potential to, even carry on that run. But like you mentioned, there are other teams around us. 4 points separate the top 10. So it could easily go awry in typical Forest fashion at the same time. But look back at our discussion at the beginning of the season of how long will Sabri Dumushi be here? Will he make it to Boxing Day or beyond? Looks like he'll be there after Boxing
Day
right
now. He's going to make it to Thanksgiving, that's for sure.
Yeah, Canadian Thanksgiving Saturday, so he's definitely definitely making that this weekend. What a great start. Like, if you really think about it, in these 11 games, lose the first game and then unbeaten in the next 10, not a bad start at all.
Not a bad start. And I think we're just going to fast forward to part of our discussion on player of the beginning of the season. So to this point in the season, let's go over some of the players that kind of helped us get to this point. I think first and foremost, we have to thank keeper, and Brice Samba has been amazing.
Yeah, he's been standout since he came into the side to replace Mirić from the first league game. Again, unbeaten in 10. So literally in the league since Brice has come in, we've not lost, which is testament for a goalkeeper. That's the results you're getting. Saved us points. You think back at some really... testing finishes to games, the Blackburn game springs to mind as a couple, and there's a home game in there where it was squeaky bum time towards the end. Even on Saturday against Brentford with that save off the deflected free kick just before half time, it could have changed the course of the game a little bit had that gone in. So he's been absolutely outstanding for us, and I can't think of a keeper in the last kind of 15, 20 years that rivals him that's played for Forest really right now.
Oh, that's a big call. It's a big call. But it's such an important position. I mean, it's something where we really struggle with our stability. Every keeper that's come in the last 10, 15 years has flattered to deceive. Most of them had a good start and then they faded away for one reason or another. Brice certainly hasn't done that. I can't remember the exact quote, but I remember Cluffy talking about Peter Shilton, obviously England's number one, phenomenal keeper. arguably the best goalkeeper ever to play for Nottingham Forest. And again, I can't remember the exact quote, but Cluffy says something akin to the fact that Shilton was worth X number of points a season. Can't remember if it was 6 or 8 or 10 or whatever it was, but the same must be said of Samba. The Samba effect, Jordan, I can't believe you didn't say it.
Oh, no.
is in full throttle. And whatever that effect is, it's certainly worth a couple of points already. And I think it's going to be worth many, many more before the end of the season.
Yeah, I need to trademark the Samba effect, don't I really? And get some t-shirts played on it. Because that, I don't know if you guys saw the artwork that was produced at the weekend for Samba. I've got to shout him out at Wide Playmaker on Twitter. Awesome banner of Samba and his kind of prayer pose just before the start of the game. But yeah, Samba effect in full swing. We've got the fans on side, fan favourite, 5 clean sheets in a row, and we're unbeaten when he's in net. Like, that's a pretty good start to your Forest career.
If Forest go up, surely that needs to be your tattoo, Jordan, the Samba effect.
Yes, that would be the way that you can get a copyright, is proving it. They'd be like, how do we know that you did it first? I'm like, well, I got a tattoo. You want to see it?
Yeah, but all the guy that needs to do is get some effect under his Samba tattoo, that guy from Gedling that already got one. So he's going to have a head start on me. I need to think of another view rather than a tattoo to express my love for Bruce.
Well, take the artwork from the banner, from the match, and then put that underneath it. That would be amazing.
Yeah,
now, we talked about players of the quarter. Samba does not stand alone. there have been several other candidates for it, lads.
Yes, there have. I'm going to talk about Matty Cash. I think he's been almost in every one of our podcasts. You have to have somebody that runs a little wild, right? We're sporting some different kits here, Mark, so we'll bring a little MLS in here. But Atlanta United last year was absolutely dominant because of Miguel Almiron, who ended up going to Newcastle. Mm-hmm. And he was faster with the ball than he was without the ball. And you have to have that guy that will push, push, push. And Matty's really been doing that.
Yeah, and again, I know we keep harping on about he's one of our own, but I think that's one of the things that endears him to the City Ground faithful. And he is one of those players who's never say die. And he's another of those players as well who he'll do whatever's asked of him, and he does it well. And I think it's remarkable the season so far that he's had at fullback. We thought he was going to be a make weight in that position, but he has, you know, grabbed it by the scruff of the neck and take ownership of it. I'm sad to see that he won't be at the City Ground for the next home game, because apparently Forrest...
All right. We know what
I'll be here a week to wait, Chris.
Yeah, oh, you're funny. And it actually, the internet, we lost connection, so we didn't have to hear that joke again.
Let me go over it again.
We're fine. I think everybody knows
Cash.
What they meant.
Jordan, who would you peg other than Cashy?
Super.
Yeah. Good. I think the ginger pillow.
Super Ben.
So I've got a theory about this. So I had a really drunken conversation with Ben Watson on the train back from Preston away in February. And I think that spurred him on. I spoke to him about selling him the MLS dream, moving over to America, because I didn't want him to play for Forest at the time. And actually, I think if anything, it spurred him on to greater heights, and he's been unreal this year. We speak about the opportunity cost and other things of having him in the side, but I think week in, week out, he is really kind of putting his stamp on the midfield and dictating games. And you know, when we look back at some of the games we've had now, you notice when he's not playing, and you know, that's a testament to how he's performed at the start of the season. He's doing really, really, really good job.
I have to say, I call into question whether or not it was really Ben Watson, particularly if it was a drunken conversation. It was probably that bloke off of Harry Potter or so. It could be some random ginger.
I assure you, definitely him. We FaceTimed one of his old teammates on the train. But yeah, like he, lovely bloke, still lives in London, only trains 3 days a week, bless him. So I think that's probably what's saving his body, and he's and getting himself, you know, these performances with his rest. But lovely guy, honestly. It was a great conversation. But beyond that, he's been great this year. He's been that deep line quarterback for us, deep line playmaker on Football Manager. Yeah, really done a job for us. And now in goal scoring form.
Oh, he's on fire. So I'll start. I would say Samba effect is my player of the year so far to date. Can you imagine where we would be in the table, that other person's name and keeper?
Well, I think, I mean, joking aside, I know we give him a hard time, but I think you nailed it, Corey, in that the other players we've discussed, there are other players in the roster who could maybe, oh gosh, I just said roster. Oh my God, I've been in North America too long. There are other players in this. It is horrendous. There are other people on the soccer roster. There are other people on the squad who could step into those positions. It's arguable whether or not they would do as good of a job, but they could stand it. They could step in and hold down the fort. I don't think there's another goalkeeper right now on the squad that can do what Samba's doing. For me, for my money, then that's what pegs it for him, player of the quarter.
Good follow up there, Jordan. Thanks for that. Let's talk about Samba a little bit. Is he going to be here in January? I've seen some Twitter reactions saying that we might be able to sell him at some point. What do you guys think? Is he a sellable keeper?
Yeah, get shot. He's rubbish.
Sam,
just don't get rid of him. Honestly, he's been amazing. And you know, Dan put a bit of a question out on Twitter for us. Would you sell Bruce Samba for a guaranteed playoff spot? Absolutely not. He's the difference between playoffs and automatic for us. I'm not letting him go anywhere. Like, and also, it's one of the, like, last year's club legend or cult hero was Michael Heffler. Like, look how far we've come this season. Well, we've actually got a quality goalkeeper as our cult hero. We don't want to get rid of him. Get rid of Heffler, who's last year's one. Really want us to keep him, and I think he's been unreal.
I think you got to keep him, because what we would sell him for, we would not be able to get a equivalent, probably. You'd have to spend a lot more money in the Premier League. Let's take him up, right?
Yeah.
If we're fortunate to go up and evaluate him when he gets up there. But I like how he takes charge back there. He looks confident, and that's kind of what you need to start with.
Yeah.
You know, whatever else Lanucci does this year, it is astonishing that he found that goalkeeper for an exposed fee, insert number here, you know, rumoured to be in the region of what, £1.5 million. It's just astonishing. I mean, that is some incredible scouting. Surely that was obviously, you know, knowledge he brought to the City Ground with him. When he brought him in, if you remember, we were all scratching our heads going, why do we need another keeper? But again, that's just remarkable knowledge there. And like Jordan said, could be the difference between playoffs and automatic. So, yeah, he's got to be the man for the quarter and hopefully not going anywhere.
Yeah, he's untouchable. We can't talk about it. Speaking of the quarter, we're going to talk about goal of the month for September. We've got some good ones. It's a lot of good matches. There are no losses here. The majority of them are wins. And we've played some really good squads. So we're going to go a little bit backwards here. It's Graben at Stoke, Amiobi at Stoke, Lolly at Stoke, Super Ben at Barnsley, Semedo at Swansea, and we're going to include Super Ben's at Brentford, which we'll talk about momentarily. But just real quick, which one do you guys like the most? I really like the Brentford goal. That's why I had to include it.
Yeah.
I really like that one.
I'm leaning that way also, but I kind of feel it's cheap because it's the most recent. And I feel like I'm not doing, you know, not really giving service to those that have gone before. But the fact is, Watson executing a skill that's that technical off the back of him faffing it up earlier in the match, and also with it being a game winner as well, it's
right.
For me at least, it's hard to see beyond that.
I think for me, it's got to be the Semedo goal at Swansea with all that hard work Graben does from the halfway line, taking on all those players. Again, game winning goal, gets the 3 points on a really tough away day. I think that's got to be goal of the month so far. Closely rivaled by Amiobi's bullet header at Stoke. I think they're my two, but I think the Semedo goal just gets it for me.
But is it really called the Semedo goal, or is it not grabbing that as the best assist? Because the goal wasn't much, was it?
That's right. No, I was about to say that. No, it was not a team goal category. It was best overall goal. And that Semedo was a chip in. I think I could have put that one in.
That's the sign of such great mastery and technical play. So it's just on a plate for him.
Two against one. Come on, Corey. Let's do him in. Come on.
That's an easy one. But yes, the build up to that goal was amazing. It probably wouldn't have happened without that. So, but there was a chip in. It was easily Super Ben against Brentford. Easily.
Let's just write off all those great team goals of the past, right? Like that famous Argentina World Cup 2006 goal, or the Jack Wilshere
against goal, Norwich, two players.
1-2, like, no, let's never do
a the Brazil from 1970. Oh, yeah, that was like a six-man move. We're talking about...
Yeah, throw them all away.
Oh, dear me.
All right, when we get to Brentford, it's called the ping pong goal, and it was totally weird the way it even happened. So that's why that was so good. We're not even counting all the headers. It was just him laying out sideways to put it in the net.
So, Corey, again, harken back to Mr. Clough. Thinking about Jordan not agreeing with the two of us, it reminds me of a famous quote where he got asked what happens when players disagree with him. And he says, well, we get together, we talk about it for 20 minutes, and then we agree that I was right.
So I think you might have heard that on one of our most recent podcasts. That's one of my favorite things. And obviously the one about Frank Sinatra was fantastic too. He met Kloppy once.
Jordan, you're entitled to your opinion no matter how wrong it is.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. So let's just move on to Stoke, which was an amazing Friday match. It was really awesome to watch in the afternoon. Thank you to ESPN Plus for carrying that. I did not have to chip in my 7-9 pounds, whatever it was, to get the match that time. I already paid for it, which was great. Everybody was like, how do we watch it? And we're like, ESPN Plus. And their app really sucks, but you'll see some of it.
Broadcast it to the TV. Lovely.
Five goals in this match. It was fun, right? It's a Friday afternoon. You can pop your whiskey open a little bit early and go at it. It was really awesome. What stood out to you the most in this match, Mark? I know what it is for me, that final goal that put us over the top. So,
yeah. So I said before this match, I said before this run of games, in fact, that this made me nervous because Forest have developed a habit over the, gosh, I don't know how many years it is now. As many years as Jordan's been following the team, that's for sure. capitulating against teams languishing below them. Teams they should put away, teams they should stuff. You know, they show up on those days when they're playing those teams above them that they have no right even being in the game with and somehow find a result. And yet when they play teams that are bottom feeders, can't get it done. So just overall, the thing that was most satisfying for me, not just from this game, but from the run of games that they've just been through, was their ability to get over the line. And that's a resilience, that's a resolve that we've not seen in a Forest team for, well, quite some time. I'm even going to say, going back to the, I can't believe I'm going to say the P word here. Going back to the last time we were promoted, I remember seeing a resolve there. It was a team that had a lot of flamboyance and flair and attacking ability, but there were games when they had to dig in. There were games when they had to find a way to grind. And we saw evidence of that against Stoke. Yes, there's lots of good play, but there was also a need just to dig in and get over the line, and they did.
Jordan Kema got in the game. Jose Manuel Rodriguez Benito.
Yeah, he's got a fancy name and a fancy girlfriend as well to boot.
You're right about that.
He's been very good since he's come in, slotted in really well to replace Dawson. And
definitely.
Again, like we mentioned, these players that can just come in and out the team. I think Kema's the next man off the ranks that can easily just slide in there. And he was phenomenal on Saturday against Brentford, and we'll come to that as well. But great to see him starting to play more regularly, and we saw him in the Arsenal game too. But really strong performance, and glad we've kind of seemingly easily replaced Dawson so far.
Mark, there's a good core of players in here that are playing well for us most of the season. Ben Watson was in, Samba Sal was in, Lolly, Carvalho, Amiobi, Grabbing, that's pretty strong.
Yeah, it is. And it's good to see that consistency. I feel like we're just repeating ourselves here, not to suggest this podcast is redundant. Please keep listening. But we haven't seen the likes of this for quite some time. And to see a Forest team that's so very consistent, that finds a variety of different ways to get it done. And they're doing it with this core group of players. And then these interchangeable squad players who are coming in and not letting anyone down. And again, more evidence of that against Stoke. And it's exciting to see. And it's that depth in the squad. It's that dependable core coupled with that depth in the squad that's going to take us places. That's all I'm prepared to say.
Yeah, and I think just building on that, one of our players of the season so far, Matty Cash, was brilliant against Stoke. Two assists. Yeah. That ball for the Amiobi goal was unreal. Okay. Just floated it up, and big, big header from Amiobi, and the grab and goal likewise too. He was really instrumental in that goal. So awesome Friday. We were top of the league. We've not even mentioned it yet. We were top of the league after the game.
We were top of the league.
Is this the first time Forest have been top of the league since you started following them, Corey?
Yes, it was. And it was also the quickest I went through a bottle of whiskey after that.
Amazing.
I thought I won the Super Bowl, man. I was like, holy cow, man. Such a short period of time. Look what I've done for this squad.
I guess our listeners are just grateful you didn't immediately get on and record an episode on your own.
Yeah.
I can hold it together better than that, buddy. yeah, man, it was a really good game. The Lolly goal was awesome. Amiobi's was awesome, and the grabbing goal was nice. It was a little chippy. We had a bunch of yellow cards during the game, but it was just because we were flying around trying to stop them. I mean, you had to. There were a lot of tackles and attendance for our away crowd once again. Good grief. They made noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that Stoke game was just like a weird like moment of, uh-oh, Forest are doing Old Forest when we went 1-0 down and Gregory scored that goal and we looked a bit shaky at the back and it was a bit of a shoddy start, but the new Forest came through as the game went on, the resilience, the playing till the end, and we were cruising towards the end and to get the 3 points. So that was an interesting one for me, seeing the dichotomy of Old Forest versus, you know, New Forest in 90 minutes and how we're coming out the other side of games for the better rather than for the worse.
So that's Stoke, guys. We have two other matches to get to. Is there anything else you want to... I kind of took from this the looks on the press box and all the important people for Stoke in their, you know, big seats and all the big haired ladies that were sitting there. They were not very happy. They looked like their dog got ran over by a drunk driver from Derby.
Stoke, 3 points. Thank you. Next.
Yeah, absolutely. Next. And we get to move on to an amazing game that just, I think, surpassed anything that we thought would happen. Blackburn was just really awesome to watch, and it was awful, right? It was just an awful, uninspired first half.
It was a real kind of just tough away day, the Blackburn game, I'd say. We weren't at the races and, mm-mm, you know, we could see a goal coming for Blackburn. Like Adam Armstrong was really dominating the left-hand side. He went on a few really mazy runs in the first half and was really their main attacking threat. And then when he scored a goal in the second half, that was it. We thought, here we go again, 1-0 down away from home, a bit like Stoke started off. But then 40 seconds later, it was 1-1, and you kind of think, guys, why didn't we just kick into gear earlier than that if we can score that easily? And I think if there's one criticism we have of Forest right now, and I think it came out in the Blackburn game, is we need something to react to get us going. We can go 1-0 down before we actually start playing, and I think as we start to get into this run of games where, you know, we should be beating teams, we want to, I think, be a bit more proactive and on the front foot from the get-go rather than kind of having to react to, you know, something that happens in the game, whether it be conceding a goal or, you know, a series of pressure from the opposition. I'd really like us to start to get on the front foot a bit more earlier in games and starting to dominate.
Hey, Mark. Would you agree that the first half we were kind of playing tits up and the second half we got our fannies in gear?
First half certainly was not full of fun. That's for sure. So all I have to add is, and this is kind of an observation that spans the three games, is I commended the team on finding a way to get it done, whether that's finding a point, whether that's getting the victory. You know, the run of 10 games, it's remarkable, that resiliency and that ability to remain unbeaten. I hope it's not controversial to suggest that this team has yet at least one more gear. I think to Jordan's point, we're not ripping into teams yet. We're not necessarily grabbing games by the throat. And I think this squad has the ability to do that. The cohesiveness we've seen up till this point, the swiftness with which this team has begun to gel is remarkable, but I don't, you know, it's not the finished article yet. There's still more yet to come. And I think once we find that next gear, then we'll start to be that Nottingham Forest that Jordan's looking for. And I think they're capable of being.
Is it fair to say that Sabri is taking time in the first half to see how things are going and he's pressing down the accelerator in the second half? It sure seems like we're better in the second.
Yeah, it's a good shout, really. And I don't know, you know, what's causing this or what have you. But the bottom line is we're drawing our away games and mainly winning our home games, which is all you really need to do at the end of the day in the season. You know, you look at the 11 games, you've got 22 points. 2 points a game is more than enough. But, you know, and we're nitpicking here. We're playing really sure. well and we're getting great results. But I think that's the one piece that is missing at times. But, yeah, maybe it is a bit of the let's just see how things play out in the first half and make adjustments afterwards, because Sabri's super subs have been unbelievable. Apart from when he took Samba So off in the Blackburn game, we got bombarded in that half. We're going to lose about 5-1.
He was trying to raise the excitement quotient. He was trying to get them entertained.
Yeah,
people that second
man. Half. Yes. And I think that proves how important Samba So has been, actually. He's probably been one of those under the radar, actually probably top three, top four players for us to start the season off since he came in. But you know, it might be right where, you know, Sabri's kind of adapting to each game a bit and actually we're getting the results for it in the end. And, you know, maybe it's something we just have to take on the chin and I'll have to be quiet that we kind of slowly start games because we're just being a bit more risk averse.
I'd agree with that. The goal was really awesome. The equalizer was great. The first goal that they scored was kind of crazy, really weird angle. And then Lolly comes back a minute later. Cash yeah. really drove down the field and Lolly just banged it in.
Yeah. And I think the best thing about the kind of Blackburn game is it just carried on our run of just amazing away attendances. So if you know, Forrest tweeted, it was 12,500 fans in three games and travelled over 600 miles over the span of a week, really, with the Arsenal-Stoke-Blackburn game. And the away support's just been unbelievable. You see the tweet about the Wigan game, over 2,000 tickets being sold. I remember going to Wigan about 4 years ago and there definitely wasn't 2,000 people there. You know, Luton sold out already, didn't even really get past the away members with 5 million loyalty points. You know, the people are turning up now to games. Away games are becoming more of an event. And it's really awesome to see that both the home attendances and the away attendances are increasing. I hope I get to go to an away day at some point this year.
It looks like it'd be really fun to go to a Leeds away game. Did you see any of the line waiting to get in the stadium the other day? The cops telling them to get back?
Oh, gosh, yeah, you just set Millwall away.
What in the world, right? Is it that bad?
Millwall's bad because they pin you in that cage.
That's right.
Out the back of the stand and, like, they wait for the home fans to disappear a bit. And that's such a dangerous spot. Like, I don't know why they still do it. And it's not the 1980s anymore. And it's actually really dangerous.
It is in Millwall, Jordan.
Yeah, but I've been there and I've been in that pit and it's so annoying. You just sat there waiting for ages. Although I got to meet British Sambalonga's parents, so I can't complain about that back in the day. Oh yeah, I had a few Jaeger bombs that day, I think, as well. Firing
Jordan,
all cylinders.
Jordan, sort yourself out with some cheap tickets. Take Corey with you. December, was it December the 7th?
Let's go.
Millwall, there you go.
Corey, yeah. That'll be a bit of difference of your visit to Oxford when you're in the UK. Going to Millwall.
Yeah, I asked if I needed reserve seats for any of the Oxford United matches. They're like, no, dude, just come on.
You're going to go from the seat of learning to go to a place where the seats are torn up and thrown at you.
Correct, awesome. Yeah.
I can't wait. F you on Millwall, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember that guy? Do you remember that guy, the terrorist guy that was a Millwall fan?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't remember this. There was this is how I even knew who Millwall was. The guy that stopped a knife attack, it was in London, and some guy walks out and he just starts swinging away with a knife. And this guy had a pint sitting outside of a pub and he drank his beer and put it down. And he just ran up to the guy and said, F you on Millwall.
Oh,
He delayed that guy from hurting anybody until the cops got there.
He got stabbed
like 15 times.
Yeah.
And he was like a national hero.
That's what happens when you attack Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, here we go.
Anyway, don't we have another game?
We do. Brentford. I could not even watch this because I was on the road. I couldn't get it on the radio. I did see the text start coming in that there was an amazing goal by somebody.
Ooh, Benny Watson. Ooh, Benny Watson.
On a free from Watford.
The magic man at 56 minutes, just like he did at Barnsley, pops up with the winner. I think it's teams that begin with the letter B. It's at Bristol City, November the 23rd. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Benny Watson is coming for you.
So that was a great goal, and there wasn't really much going on other than Samba Sow trucking somebody.
There was that one, and Camara Rodriguez just absolutely ran through two blokes. I can't believe it. They got away with both. Absolutely blasted them.
No, not even a warning. They were like, play on. I could hear, I could see the ref, and he was like, play on.
Ref was bad. The ref was bad Saturday, but that killed me both times. Kemba Rodriguez just ran through someone, and Sam Bissou just demolished this bloke. He was in a sack of potatoes after that. Oh man, unreal.
So the ping pong goal, Mark, you wanna go over it, and I'll play some chants of Super Ben back behind you while you're describing the ping pong goal.
Well, I'm not going to describe the entire build-up. I'm just going to focus on that moment of brilliance. I mean, it was Brazilian-esque as Benny launches himself into the air, connects on the volley. It wasn't placed particularly well, but I think the fact he was able to execute is what caught the goalkeeper off guard. And, just unstoppable. Thing of beauty. Surely up for goal of the season. And like I said, it's not the first time he's done it. It's a second game winner he scored now at 56 minutes, which is a little bit freaky. And just further underscoring his value, I think, to the team. Jordan has waxed lyrical about his importance as our quarterback, as the one who holds it all together defensively. But, you know, when he starts wading in with goals as well, even young Daniel must have his head turned.
Who got the assist on that?
Joe Worrell.
Yeah, it was Joe Worrell with a beautiful cushion header. In the initial commentary, they were waxing lyrical about how there was a beautiful flick on at the front post, and then Joe Worrell cushioned it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. You saw it. We're shaking our heads here. The listeners obviously can't see that, but obviously the front post was a defensive flick. It's to the back post. But Worrell's wherewithal to just cushion it back. Now you have to say, what is going through Worrell's mind at that point? Oh, yeah, Ben Watson. He's the player I want to cushion the ball to.
Right.
Yo, you've got a narrow angle on the back post with about 2% chance of scoring if you head on goal yourself, mate. That's still better odds than cushioning it to Ben Watson. But fair play, he did the right thing, and Watson did the rest.
And that header gets better every time you see it, honestly. It's such a good cushion header.
It really is.
And it's like in the nice gap space. And I think that speaks just how the maturity we've seen of Joe Worrell this year. Yes. Where he's making those really good decisions now. Even when he's defending, he's positioning-wise great. He intercepted a few through balls on Saturday that I thought were really great. And even just having the presence of mind in that situation to, not try and head the goal like a young, inexperienced player might do, but he's actually more aware of the space, the movement, the players, and the opportunities, and kind of really created that goal for us because the corner was terrible.
I think that Jay Worrell's neck is compressible. Like, because if you look at it, it kind of, he goes down like that to even take more off of it. Yeah, and he really did cushion it well. And if you ask what you thought he was thinking right when he hit it with his head, and I believe in miracles, probably went right through his head. And he served it up, and it was perfect.
There was some rumor on Twitter of Newcastle sniffing around Worrell. Obviously, he had a pretty good time up at Rangers. Did a lot to raise his stake up there. Has come back and had a fantastic restart with Forest. As somebody pointed out on Twitter, though, why would Worrell go to Newcastle? We're going to be passing them this season on their way down.
That's right. That is totally true.
Newcastle do have a penchant for our. Really high-performing young centre-backs, though, because Jamal Lascelles went there and he's their club captain now. So,
although they took James Perch as well, so fair play.
Oh, they did. Yes, so that offsets it, doesn't it?
It does.
That's so good. So that's our match recaps, and we had three. So we're moving on into international break. I do want to let everybody know that next week, I think, maybe, or maybe in a week and a half, we're going to release a new stoppage time, and I do not know him. But we have Greg with Forza Garibaldi, and we're going to get into the supporters group and his whole culture that he's trying to get back moving forward and doing these awesome boat parties and all the TIFOs and all the work they do up there to really make the stadium experience awesome. So I really look forward to that. Jordan, you know Greg?
Yeah, hung out with him a couple of times when I've been back in England and last saw him in February. Awesome guy. Loves his NFL as well. Big 49ers fan, and he was at Wembley this weekend, so I hope he had a great time there. And I think what him and Matt have really led the charge on from a Forza Garibaldi perspective has been awesome. Really added to the match day atmosphere, and really excited to catch up with them when I'm next back.
All right, Jordan. So NFF CNA Nashville update. We've got big news. We announced that. Well, we didn't announce the president mothership. Yeah, the mothership announced, Mark. That it's going to be in Nashville, right? And you guys chose that over New Orleans, which Mark and I were in favor of. So we'll hold on to New Orleans until we get a cage in down there.
Austin, can I just say?
Yeah,
because I'm lazy. But
yeah, so Nashville is announced. So we've got Matty Cashville, Jean-Claude Dashville, Tits Fanny and Gashville, whatever you want to call it. We are going to Nashville for our North American meetup. Saturday, March the 21st, I think it's the Saturday. And I think it's Bristol City at home is the game. We're still sorting out a bar. But yeah, hashtag book the floats once we've sorted out the venue. So we're holding no liability for any bookings get cancelled if we have to switch location, but we're fairly confident we're going to find a bar there and it's going to be at Nashville. So really excited to head there. It's one of my favorite cities in America. I'm so excited to hit up Broadway.
Look, there's so many possibilities of things going on that weekend. The Nashville MLS team could be playing. We're going to wake up early and possibly go to an amazing bar to watch it. The Wild Beaver Saloon, I would highly recommend that place. That's a good spot. And there's a lot of other. The Honky Tonk Central, that's a good one.
Yeah. Honky Tonk Central's mint. I've got a t-shirt from there. Right. Tootsie's all-time goat bar. That is just phenomenal. And then there's Legends Corner just opposite Bridgestone Arena there, which are on my kind of target list. But honestly, you'll find me on Broadway that whole weekend from when I land to when I leave on Sunday. I love that spot. And then a little bit of dinner at Pork Leg Porker, I think.
Oh, yeah. Lions Entertainment's quality, too. I know you've been there, Jordan.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyone looking for a slightly more sedate and classier experience, I do know the best speakeasy in all of Nashville. So, yeah, maybe one evening we can head down there and have some proper drinks.
Uh-oh. Did we all just say we're going? Everybody's going, right?
We are. Hope
the flights, Mark, right?
We're all going.
We'll see. We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, Mark might have taken a new podcast job with Austin FC. So,
no joking aside, I'm hoping to get on the commentary team.
You should.
I think if the three of us were to show up, then it would shatter the illusion. I'm thinking there are listeners out there who think that there's just one person playing all three of us.
That's impossible. I can't pronounce a name the same way twice over two podcasts. How can I hold your voices for 10 podcasts and do the exact same voice?
I listen to a lot of British podcast 606 and, you know, all the BBC stuff and whatnot. Those British journalists and commentators cannot say Megan Rapinoe. Mm-mm. It's Rapinoe. And they just have all these you just need to listen to how she says her name and then copy that. It's bizarre. I'm so embarrassed in my homeland, my countrymen, countrymen and women.
She's amazing.
Yeah, that Donna Rapinoe. That's
Rapinoe. She's amazing. All right, so we need more details. Y'all need to get the website up, and you need to make sure you start using the word y'all. Y'all need to come up here.
Y'all might need to record a live podcast.
Y'all could do that.
That would get me there.
Yeah. Find me a whiskey bar with a beer chaser and we're good to go.
Yeah, like it might be the first time we're actually in the room together and recording. So we might have to do that when we're out there, lads, do a little post-match analysis when we're like 12 deep. But
so the way to do that, really, if we were going to do it live, is we would do part of the podcast before the match starts. We would jump in it at halftime and give our thing there. And then we would just do a rap show with everybody that's there, questions, rants, screams, whatever. Yeah, because then you could edit all that together. So if we can make that happen, we have the equipment, we can make that happen easily. So
awesome. And then second North America update is the predictions first quarter has closed.
You guys suck! Y'all suck! All of you suck! Mark, not all of you. I'm just saying the other people on the podcast. You guys are terrible!
Yeah, we deal in the real world. Not
to be fair, Jordan, I even was the fair person on this. What was my reasoning that I got the most points?
You bet on Forest to win every single game till April.
That's right.
You put in your predictions before even the next ones have been released.
Well, and you guys have years and years and years of disappointment and failure. All I have is victories, right? So, well, not last year. Last year was pretty awful.
We have a sedimentation of disappointment. It goes, it runs very deep.
It's probably even hard for you guys to type and press the W key.
It is hard. But shout out to Kyle Porter, who absolutely dominated this.
Wow.
The prediction on that guy is outrageous. So I'm going to try.
Please go down.
Him.
Yeah.
Nashville, you got to get him on. He's going to pick the lotto numbers for me. Like, the guy's a genius. Absolute genius. So
did he double entry? Did he get points for? He got double points on every match. That had to happen. He had like 33 points.
1 point in 11 games. So like he at least predicted the right result on average in every single game. Like it's just ridiculous. So well played, Kyle. And there's something in the water in Chicago because Jake was a close second, 4 points behind him, and then Andrew from Chicago was third with 22 points. Well, Wisconsin technically, but we'll let him off.
Yeah, let's just be honest here, too. They all have control over the website and all of the entries, and they probably just submitted all. Those are our tech gurus, aren't they? Don't they run all the techie stuff for us?
Andrew does do the website. He might have hacked into Nigel's spreadsheet there to get him into third place from nowhere. But just to wrap it up. So Corey ended up with 16 points. I ended up with 11 and Mark with 9. And I can't believe you made 9, Mark, the way you were going.
What a magnificent recovery.
You did very well to get 9. You didn't even finish last.
Hey! Yeah.
You had 4 for like the last 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's not how you start, Corey.
It's how you finish. Yep.
Speaking of good jobs, we signed a new player to a professional deal this week. Mr. Finn Back, 17 years of age. Neil Back, the famous England rugby player, World Cup winner's son. And if anyone's seen my Twitter this week, phenomenal comment from John Sargent on his signing announcement page. And it's clear that Finn Back finishes very well. So congratulations to him on his 3-year deal. That's all I've got to say on the matter.
All right, Mark, what you got?
Yeah, I just want to remind folks that off the back of our interview with the Boot Bag guys, Jordan Schweitzer and Shane Malcolm, there is an opportunity to win a limited edition boot bag. Limited in that it has traveled far. It has gone all the way to the hallowed city ground. Dan took it there on his recent trip back home. And anyone who follows Dan on the Tweety will have seen pictures of the boot bag propped up in the city ground as well as on the wall outside. It's been there. It's been to our temple. It's been to the place we love, and we'll apparently be also filled with some items that Forest fans will love. Dan has very generously said he'll fill the bag up with some goodies that I think all of us would love to get our hands on. So in order to get your hands on that special boot bag, you need to listen to the interview with the lads in order to get the answer to the following question, which is Jordan and Shane mention that there's a big social good part of the business, which is going to see them taking mission trips to go hand out footwear, football boots, to kids that don't have access to football boots, financial situation. And in the interview, they kind of announce where their first mission trip to be. All you need to do in order to be entered into the draw to potentially win that boot bag and the goodies therein is send your answer to that question to us at forestfancast@gmail.com. So where are they taking their first mission trip? Shoot us the answer and we'll do the drawing on the next episode.
That's great. We want to thank the guys from Boot Bags, especially for being on our last Stoppage Time. If you haven't heard of that, go back on either Anchor or any of your podcast devices and find the Boot Bags interview. Mark did a great job with that. Good luck. Win that boot bag. It went to City Ground and it's full of fun.
Indeed.
All right. So guys, let's wrap this up with our predictions. You guys were complete failures in the first quarter, so this is an opportunity to start fresh.
Redemption time. Redemption.
And you guys, I'm going to let you go first. I'll give you a crack at Wigan. It's an away match.
Well, my new policy is going to be to follow Jordan.
Right.
Okay. That will get you mid-table mediocrity. Congratulations, Mark.
Yeah, but he would be moving up.
There you go. It'd be better than nine. So I think I'm going to go for a 2-0 win away at Wigan.
All right. Well, I'm going to be a little less ambitious and go with a 1-0 win. Languishing at the wrong end of the table. But they're also a difficult place to go and score. So 1-0.
All right.
Yeah, Wigan's last two games have finished 1-0 as well. So you might be onto something there, Mark.
They don't have the worst last six matches, do they? It's not great, but they have 2 wins, 2 losses, 2 draws. That's not terrible. There's other teams that have done way worse than that above them. But I'm just going to stay with what works, guys. I'm going to go with a 1-0 win on the road.
Nice.
This is thrilling podcasting, boys.
I know.
Sumber effect. 6 clean sheets in a row. Sumber effect continues.
Yeah, let's just keep it going. So next match, Hull City.
I'll jump in first on this one then. I'm going to go with a 1-1. It is at the City Ground. And I would love ordinarily to go with a victory, but I'm not feeling this one. So 1-1.
I'll go ahead and jump in. Jordan, I'll give you a little bit of time to think this through. I'm actually going to open it way up on this one. I was nervous about Wigan coming off an international break. Do we lose momentum? That's kind of why I said 1-0. I see a 3-1 on this match. And, yeah, we're going to score some. It'll be first time back at City Ground after an international break. I think it'll be a good party. People are going to be amped up for it. Our friends, Forza Garibaldi, you know they're going to do something great for that. So, Greg, light it up. 3-1.
Yeah, I'm borderline like Boris tearing it up. But I'm going to constrain myself just for this one game and say I think we'll beat Hull 2-1. I think they've got some really good attacking players, and I think they will score. And the Samba effect will take a slight pause that week, but I back us to bag a couple at home and take the 3 points, 2-1.
All right, and then we're moving on to Reading, and that's October 26th. It's way down the line, but it's going to be awesome. That's also a home match, and that's at City Ground. I'll just lead off with this. I think we'll get a draw out of this. I think it'll be a 1-1 draw.
So this is the one I'm not containing myself on. I think we're going to rip Reading a new one. I think we're going to absolutely polish them off. They've got Charlie Adam with his walking stick in his wheelchair in the centre of midfield. I think we're going to absolutely do him. I think it'll be about 4-1.
Oh,
Forest
wow.
are going to win 4-1.
Wow.
I thought you were going to take mine. I'm going 4-0.
I think they're going to get back. We're going to batter Reading.
Yeah, 4-0.
Okay. I obviously didn't look at how well they're playing this year. But at some point, the foot is going to come off the accelerator. You got to be fair about that. I don't ever want to predict a loss at home. So a draw in one of those three, that was just kind of the one that I saw. So, okay, guys. Well, that is going to wrap up episode 10 of the Forest Fancast. Just an amazing time to this point. We have a lot more to go. You guys get more active with us on social media. Throw questions at us whenever you want. We don't have to ask for it. We will answer questions on any of the podcasts. And if you can, and you feel like it, no matter where you listen, jump on Apple Podcasts or Anchor and give us a 5-star review. And if you have a question or comment, we will read it on the air.
Just to keep everyone occupied in the international break, highly recommend looking at Sabri Cam on the Forest Twitter that came out this week. Just seeing Sabri Lamouchi doing his thing on the dance floor. Well, touchline, but it is his dance floor. Absolutely unreal to see. And I know the song that he was dancing to. Do you know what he was dancing along to at the sideline?
What is love?
Here we go.
Oh, Super Benny Watson. Oh, on a free from Watford. Oh, he never gives the ball away.
Very good.
Wow.
You actually can't get it. It's impressive.
Can
Man.
You play the actual song on there as we go out and trail that out like that?
I had no idea we had a crooner on the podcast.
No, Corey, there is no disputing. The Forest Fanny cast is full of fun.
There you go. You're it!
Hey, this is Shane Malcolm.
And this is Jordan Schweitzer.
We're the creators of Boot Bags.
Fashionable, durable, washable. Boot Bags are the most convenient way to carry your cleats to and from training or games. Check us out at bootbags.us.
You're listening to the Forest Fancast Podcast.